6 years ago, I was about as far away from God as you could imagine. Growing up, I wasn't raised with any religious background. I was always taught to stand on my own 2 feet as a man and make things happen. The thought of relying on faith never entered my mind. I always looked to my father as the guiding light in my life. He had no religious faith due to his many years spent in Vietnam and all the horrible things he saw there. Because of that, I was raised to feel like I needed to be a man's man and needed to take control of everything. I became a control freak early in life. In 1998, my father passed away. That drove me to start drinking heavily, trying to drown out the misery that I felt. A big piece of me was gone. My heart was turning cold, and at that point, I really didn't care. I started hanging out with a lot of self-destructive people who, come to find out, were on the same path as me. We'd go out to the bars once a week to blow off steam from the long hours put in the factories. One night turned into two into three until we were out every night. I had little to no respect for myself or anyone else back then. We would drink, fight, and womanize like it was second nature. Sadly, at that point in my life, it was second nature. I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. I remember one night I was out drinking, and a man approached me and said that he knew my father and expressed some strong opinions I didn't agree with. One thing led to another, and my anger took over. I grabbed him and threw him against the wall. His two friends jumped up, and I leveled both of them in my rage. I went back to the first man and started beating him with everything I had in me. I would have killed him if not for my coworkers pulling me off of him. Looking back, if God had not stopped me, I'd probably be in prison for murder. Rage had a very strong hold on me back then. When the economy dropped out, I felt like the Chrysler was about to go under, so I left the company, leaving behind probably the most stable part of my life at that point. I moved away thinking that a fresh start somewhere else is what I needed. The only problem was, I was still the same inside. When I moved away, things didn't quite work out. I ended up coming back. When I first returned to Kokomo, I decided a debt needed to be paid. See, I had a close friend that had been attacked a few months before. He was jumped by 3 men that beat him with a lead pipe, breaking his neck, and taking a hook knife through his lip and an eye socket. Over the next several weeks, the anger built up in me as he struggled to regain his life that had been taken away from him in such a horrible way. I found out who the men were and decided they needed to pay for what they'd done. I followed them around for several weeks until I knew their every movement. I decided to just go ahead and take justice into my own hands at that point. I purchased an unmarked assault weapon from a gang down in Indy that I used to hang out with. I then went to visit my friend one last time before I went for vengeance. I told him what I had planned and that the debt would be paid. That day, unable to stand, scarred for life, my friend begged me to let karma take care of it. He asked me not to ruin my life by killing those men. I didn't know it at the time, but God had saved me once again from myself. After that, I really didn't have much purpose in life, so I continued to chip away at my life and my bank account with my lifestyle. I was a very empty person inside. It all came to a head in 2010. I was out of work, out of money, toying with thoughts of suicide and soon to be homeless. I had pretty much reached rock bottom. I ran into an old friend out in Rocheville who saw I was no longer the person I used to be. He asked me to meet with the pastor of his church. I figured I had nothing to lose by meeting with him. Pastor was a nice guy, but really didn't fully change my heart or my mind at that time. He asked me to come to the service on the following Sunday. I told him I would think about it. That Sunday, as I woke, I thought, why would I go to this? It doesn't make any sense to me. I remember asking God if he wanted me there, he needed to show me something. I flipped open the Bible, a random page, put my finger on it. It was Galatians 5:19. As I read through 19 through 21, it described the last decade of my life. It then goes into the fruit of the Spirit in 22 through 24. God had shown me where I'd been and where I needed to be. Galatians 5:19 through 24 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, and parties and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed those passions and desires to their sinful nature to the cross and crucified him there. I met with the pastor for a few months. He was always asking me, trying to get me saved. I declined every time. In my mind, it had to be the right time. On Christmas Eve, I went to the service just thinking it was just going to be another service. When communion time came during the service, they asked if anyone wanted to give their life to Christ. God spoke to me. I turned to the older gentleman seated next to me and asked how to go about being saved. That night, he talked me through it. Come to find out that he was the pastor's brother-in-law who had lost his father just a few hours before the service, but felt a calling to be there that night. God had placed him there for me. God had done this for a man that just a few months before, was thought as pure walking evil. God is good, gentlemen. At this point, I thought I was all in with my faith, but over the next year, I felt myself slipping more and more away. I was active in my church there every Sunday, but still had my doubts. It was at that time I was invited to the Kokomo Great Banquet. The first few days, my walls were up so high, I just was not ready to let go of my guilt and accept God's grace. I even tried to leave on that Friday night. That weekend, for me, opened my eyes to a whole new world. I decided that I needed to serve on a greater level than ever before. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Revive Indiana came to Kokomo a few years ago and had a huge impact in the community and in me. See, God graciously laid it on my heart to go to the first day when it was brought up about going to the Chrysler plants. Most people were laughing when they first mentioned that. But at that moment, God sparked something in me. After a few days making several phone calls, pulling every string I still had in the factory, and of course lots of prayer, we were given that golden opportunity. God had swung open the doors to the factories that had previously been closed tight. We were able to hand out over 5,000 Bibles and talk several people through salvation. God allowed me to go back to where I was such a negative influence and speak God's word into those former co-workers. Guys, let me tell you, that week mountains were moved in the factories. The more I served, the more I craved to serve the kingdom. I prayed for God to use me in a ministry. About a week later, a friend called saying that CAM Ministries wanted to interview me. My first thought was, what is CAM? Turns out it's a ministry for homeless. They offered me a position running their family shelter. And as I walked out, all I could think was, what are you thinking, God? Families? I've never been married, never had kids. What am I going to know to do with these people? I prayed for 2 days over it, and God spoke to me, asking me just to trust him. I accepted the position, and it has been a blessing. It has opened my heart and mind in many different aspects of ministry that I'd never even ventured into before. It also allows me to speak God's word into people who would normally never hear it. Last September, God allowed me to be tested to the core. See, I was having flu-like symptoms and went to the hospital, weak and dehydrated. They did blood work, and the ER doctor came back into the room and asked to pray with me. I thought, okay, is this comforting or just flat-out frightening, for the doctor to want to pray? We prayed, and then he told me that I had cancer. That was a real tension-getter. I was shocked and questioned why. I was finally doing what I felt in my heart God had created me to do, and now this. After about an hour of freaking out, I just asked my friends to leave the room and allow me to process it. I went in the restroom and just cried out to God, Within seconds, I felt his presence in the room. It was just a calming effect. I knew at that point God had a plan for this. I was diagnosed with bone cancer. I started chemo a few days later. The oncologist told me 2 weeks into it that we need to be more aggressive and that about 70% of the bone marrow was cancerous at that point. We decided to do 1 week of double chemo. I was told that there was a good chance I may not survive the week. I had to go in and sign a medical release on Friday before we started. And the whole idea of that just terrified me, knowing that, I was signing that to where I could potentially die and there would be no responsibility there. As I took the pen to sign it, I looked on the wall of the cancer center, and there was God's words. On the wall is Philippians 4:13, which states, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." As I left the hospital, I prayed that God would give me a sign that I was doing the right thing. Within an hour, my phone rang. It was the lay director for the Kokomo Great Banquet 115 asking me to speak at the banquet. That was just this last weekend. But knowing that God had done this in September, knowing that I wasn't going to be, knowing the banquet was into February, I just smiled knowing that God was going to take care of it. As the week went on during the long sessions of chemotherapy, I would talk with the nurses, the phlebotomists, the doctors, and the other patients of God's love for us. My faith was strengthened, and I was able to exhibit God's love with the people of the cancer center in the moments of my greatest weakness. God carried me when I couldn't walk on my own. John 15:5 states, without me, you can do nothing. Those words spoke true to me then and still do today. Even in the midst of my battle, God reminded me of his mighty power. See, I wasn't really sure at the first part of November just how bad it was or if it even worked. But then he allowed my Chicago Cubs, my beloved team, to win the World Series. That was miracle one for the month. The second coming, November 23rd, the day before Thanksgiving, I was told at that point that I was cancer-free. Nothing I did on my own, but just purely by the grace of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today and for this ministry and for everyone in here today, Lord. And I just pray that that you were able to speak through me, Lord, and lay something on these men's hearts that will help them as they go on in the coming days, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that that everyone is safe until we meet again next week. In your son's holy name, amen.